Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. The theme from Dallas. It is midnight. Boy, that's a twist. Midnight, December 13th. It is 1 minute after. You might be able to hear the Big Ben chiming in the background. This is a special broadcast of The Last Word, because I will be in Charleston, South Carolina, over the weekend and will not be able to make a broadcast. So I'm told. I will see when I get down there. But I just want everybody to remember Dallas. They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday. They need this win. So I had to throw in a little Dallas theme song to get us in the mood. Yes, sir, all you Dallas fans, wear your Dallas gear, your hats, your shoes, your uniforms, your T-shirts. And hope that our wide receiver, Mr. Bryant, tapes up them fingers and can catch some balls on Sunday for us, some touchdowns. Well, tonight's show is a special show because I have been looking on hearing on the radio, on television. Everybody's talking about what's happened, the cliffs. Or I should say the curb. We're at the curb, falling off the curb, this big curve, this fiscal curve. Well, hey, I don't think it's such a big curb. We'll fall off it. We're not going to lay down the street. We are going to just slip off the curb. And when the Republicans see that there's nothing they can do about it, Mr. Obama, in his last term, will show them why, as a community organizer, he's the best thing that's ever happened to this country. But we have these guys still in the same frame of mind that they won. They did not win. As a matter of fact, this would have been a worse of a slaughter than when Johnson won in 64. The only reason why these guys, this progressive party, has been able to say and do the things that they're presently doing, and I can't even get into that. I'll get into that next week. What they're presently doing is because they redistricted everything in these states that they took over the assemblies and the senates and the governorships. They redistricted all of them so they could not lose. They segregated all the Democrats out and put in Republicans, safe seats. Even at that, they lost seats in the Senate and the House. That's how bad it would have been. It would have been worse than the landslide of Lyndon Johnson against Goldwater in 64 if they had not redistricted all these seats. Only reason why they won. Only reason why they won in North Carolina, where I am, is because they redistricted. But you know, hey, that's the way the game is played. That's the way politics is played. When you don't go out and vote, you get your butt kicked. And Democrats, but see, it's Democrats, liberals, you all are the problem. You people who did not vote are the cause of all this conflagration, all this nonsense that's going on in this country right now, is because you fail to vote. You thought when Obama came in, that was the last time you ever have to vote. There was going to be a chicken in every pot. But, you know, it don't happen like that.
I wasn't
it does not happen like that. Let me call in, see what our Mr. Fortenberry, what is the story? Am I right? When you don't vote, you get this. Oh, this is Mr. Fortenberry. Who is this? This is Diane Little.
That's the civil war. You got me all right.
This is Diane Little. Hi,
yes.
This is Thomas Fortenberry. Yes, Miss Little, how are things?
Things are good. Things are doing well. Holidays
things
are
doing
crazy,
well.
But it's doing well.
Did you hear what I said about the not voting?
Oh, absolutely, and I agree with you.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, it would have been a horrendous slaughter if they had not redistricted all these seats when they did in 2010. And the only reason why they were able to do that is because of the redistricting, because people did not get out and vote.
Absolutely. While we're sleeping, they're thinking. They're not smarter than us. They're just quicker on the draw. And certainly they did the redistricting first because they knew that that was a Trump card. And elections certainly do have consequences.
That's right.
We're going to pay for it.
But they don't believe that, though. We're going to pay for it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Because the seats aren't going to be redrawn again for another 10 years.
That's right.
So, you know, it's 10 years.
10 years.
Unless people move into those districts that are going to vote Democrat.
Well, it certainly can't be that the Republicans will destroy the state, because apparently people don't care about that. They're so partisan and so vehemently against anything that has Obama's name attached to it that they vote against their own interests and their own future.
Well, the only reason why they voted against their own interests and their own future is because there was a black man in the White House.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They would not. This would never have occurred in 2008. None of this stuff would have even been in our lexicon. It wouldn't have been in our vocabulary if it wasn't for a black man in the White House. All this racial animosity, racial skullduggery that's been hidden in the closet has all come to roost. We now know who all these people are.
Well, you know, their particular plan during the 2008 election was to not let him be elected, and then once he was elected, it was he cannot have a second term. And now what they're doing, because he has a second term, they were trying to smear his legacy.
Well, I tonight's show is going to be about the dumbest quotes from conservative right-wing ideologues of the past 4 years.
How much time do you have?
See, it's only an hour show tonight. So, we do not have enough time to really talk about.
No.
There have been, matter of fact, I don't even know if we had another 10 years, we could talk about all the dumb things that were said by these kooks in the last 4 years. If we had 10 years, we didn't have enough. We wouldn't have enough time if we had 24 hours on a day.
I tell you, they're not smart. They just have money.
Well, that's... listen, I'm going to give you... I'm gonna ask you a question, and I want you to tell me who said it.
Oh, Lord.
Now, this is it. I am an honorary consul general, so I have inviolability.
Yeah.
Okay. Who said that? I am an honorary consul general, so I have inviolability.
Wow. Honorary. I don't know, Carl Rove.
No. This was said by socialite Jill Kelly on a telephone call to an emergency dispatcher in Tampa, Florida on November 11th about the media crew that was came to her house and was trying to get her to talk about the resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus.
You are kidding me. You know what I mean? You can't make this stuff up.
Well, listen, here's another one. I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of politicians. We had an earthquake. We had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me? Listen to the American people, because the American people are roaring right now. They know government is on a morbid obesity diet, and we've got to rein in spending.
Oh, well, that could be, wow. That might be McConnell or, it could be McConnell or it could be Rush Limbaugh. I mean, they're both the same person, aren't they?
Yeah, but see, the clue is, I don't know how much God has to do with getting the attention of politicians.
Oh, Santora.
This was said by Michelle Bachman in Florida after the East Coast earthquake.
I started to say her, but I thought Santorum because he's
Now, here's one that it is so contradictory, you might not get it, but if you think about it, I'll tell you, it's a guy. In the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations.
McCain.
That's right. It was John McCain.
Yeah.
And right after that, we invaded Iraq.
Of course. he's the father of contradictions, and he thinks that he's an expert in international affairs, and we all know that he probably gave secrets away when he was a POW, and that's why he's alive.
Well, listen, the only reason why, first of all, you know, he's the one that almost sank the aircraft carrier that he was on. And and some of the people who had testified in his shoot down said that it was his fault that he got shot down.
It was his fault. And they have an actual protocol named after the accident that he caused.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And that the only reason why he's alive today is because he was an admiral's son. Matter of fact, not ordinary admiral. The vice chair of naval command of the Pacific.
Of naval command. That's right. That's
the only reason why he's alive today.
His money, maybe.
That's right. Well, here's another. Now, this one, I think you'll get also. Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Is our children learning?
Yes.
I'm thinking Kane. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be, but no, it's even worse than that.
Is our children learning?
Really is the question asked. Is our children learning?
I'm stumped.
George W. Bush.
Right to make a right.
Oh, see, you didn't tell me that he was going to be part of it.
I did say right wing ideologue.
You did say dumbest.
I did say dumbest, right?
Yeah, you did. You did.
So hey. Hey, now, is our children learning? Well, you know, remember during 9/11, he was sitting there reading a daggone book about some goat, and the book was upside down.
Yeah, he was learning.
Well, and I'm surprised the kids didn't tell him, turn the book around, Mr. President. But they didn't.
No,
I guess they didn't want to embarrass him.
They were reading it. They were reading it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was just looking at the pictures. But he was looking upside down.
Yeah. Well, they remember when they used to do that.
Yeah, and now here's something else that our beloved president said. And I'll tell you, he said this. You know, one of the hardest parts of my job is to connect Iraq to the war on terrorism.
Oh, yeah, that's him.
Because
Cheney
invaded.
Just said it was hard, yeah.
And then
that's
he invaded.
Then he invaded, that's right. It's really sad, and we actually were captive by a reign of terror for 8 years under that president. I think that's why it's such a breath of fresh air and intelligence and command of what's really going on in this country that needs to change or that needs to be thwarted. And that's why people are not playing, and that's why people stood online for 7 hours, and that's why I think Time magazine, when they're looking for a person of the year, it should be the American voter.
Well, I was going to say Mitt Romney.
Person of the year, well.
Yeah, but, you know. See, there's a most like in baseball and basketball and football, there's a most valuable player, and there's a player of the year.
Uh-huh.
Now, he wouldn't be considered the most valuable player, but you know, for helping the other side.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He has to be the player of the year. I mean, you know, how can you do any better than saying, well, and these are the people working for Mitt Romney.
That's right.
You hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Etch-a-Sketch.
You kind of shake it up, and we start all over.
And that toy company loves it because they have been selling Etch-a-Sketch by the thousands.
Well, you know, but see, here's the thing. They said that, like, nobody else was listening the whole 21 debates that they had. Nobody heard a thing that this moo-moo said. Nobody heard a thing that he said. And all we have to do is just shake it up like Etch-a-Sketch and start all over.
That's what he said. With a
straight But you know, that's what he did in the first debate. He started all over, and that's why the president looked at him in the first debate and said, I don't believe it. He could not even believe it. Now, this man, as a community organizer, has seen it all. But he said, you know, I haven't seen it all.
No. No.
I mean, it's just outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
But it's very scary.
Okay. But you see, most of the time, people aren't listening.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
But they were this time.
Yeah.
This is a first. But I think the reason why they were listening this time is because they couldn't believe the clown show that was up there in front of them for about 20 or 21 debates. They could not believe the clown show. They were their own demise.
Yeah.
They were their own demise. I mean, it's just incredible that they could even think that no one would even catch on.
So they engaged the voter.
They engaged the voter. The voter would have been sleeping as normal.
Yeah. They couldn't believe it.
The voters started saying, wait a minute. What did that man just say?
Oh.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
They just could not believe what was said. They couldn't believe.
It was like a train wreck.
Yeah, but over and over and over again.
5 miles.
And the train wreck just never stopped.
Yeah.
It never stopped. It just kept going and going and going. Now, you had, there were people in this train wreck where, that said that we have the American public doesn't listen to any of this. We can say whatever we want. People aren't going to remember anything we said.
No, because they took away the word lie. They took away the word lie, and now they call it misspoke. It's like a hiccup.
It's like a hiccup. Well, let me just play this for you, and you'll see what I mean.
Miles, okay.
We cannot be cowed by them. We have to, when they say things that are culturally insensitive and stupid, we need to go after them and say, this is not right. We got to stand up. We need some real leadership within the party to say, you know, you are alienating voters that we want to attract. Knock it off.
We've got to get a kind of a party view of America that's not right out of Rush Limbaugh's Dream Journal.
Who is and who is not conservative should not be defined around who agrees with whatever outrageousness comes out of the mouth of these talk radio hosts. Enough is enough.
The conservative followership has been fleeced, exploited, and lied to by the conservative entertainment complex.
And all that is true. That's what they did. Because they had their own base. Because their own base has been lied to for at least since Fox News has been on the air. So they are already conditioned to...
Yeah.
Program. That's why when you call in the Rush Limbaugh show, you say ditto, because I agree with everything you said, and I'm a robot. I mean, that's all. And you listen to Hannity. I mean, even when that fool Ann Coulter was on Hannity's show, she told him, Sean, we lost. It's over. We lost. He says, well, you just got to give up. He says, we lost.
Well,
and he still doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
They still don't believe it. So,
well,
you know,
they will.
You have people that, as I said, are conditioned. They have been conditioned since Fox has been on the air. So they figured, and this is what Romney was trying to say, there's 47% of those people out there I'm not going to get, but I'll get that other 4%, because all I need is 51%. So all he wanted to do was get 4 more percent, and he figured if he could flim-flam some independents and a few disgruntled Democrats, Reagan Democrats.
Right.
He will win.
You mean Blue Dog Democrats.
Blue Dog, yeah, same thing.
Right,
Blue Dog, right, that's right, Reagan, Blue Dog Democrat. If you, but you know, even those Blue Dogs, most of those Blue Dog Reagan Democrats would not even go along with this okie doke. It was
that bad. Well, it's what they call demos, you know, Democrats and only. And those people are just Democrats because their grandpappy was, but they don't have Democratic ideals. They fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
They
fight each other
and they
time.
Waste time.
And
we don't
now,
have to like each other. We just have to work together.
Well, that's right. That's absolutely true. But you see, the Tea Party, which has been around, which is such a fiasco, is really not a Tea Party. That whole organization was created only to make money on those poor, ignorant, most cases, hillbilly Democrats with half a brain.
Right.
I'm sorry.
They had those TV shows and news commentators trying to get percentages of how many Tea Party persons had had high school and college degrees.
Right.
They were trying to legitimize that foolishness.
Of course.
I thought it was just unpatriotic.
Well, the problem is that most of the people that voted for the president have more of an education and make more money.
Yeah.
Because the states that are controlled by the Republican houses in the House and the Senate and the governorships have the lowest incomes in the country. They have less health care in the country. And more of them are on Medicare and Medicaid than the
And they're a burden to this country, so I say let's just build a moat.
Well, see, it's sort of almost split, snakes through almost half the country from the south to the north, that whole section there, all the southern states is gone red. But you see, I don't feel that we can abandon those poor people. I just don't think they've ever had a chance. You know, it's almost like giving a 6-year-old $5 and sending him out on his own. I mean, there is somebody that's you remember the story about Pinocchio where the wolf and the other character was went and Pinocchio was walking to school. Geppetto gave him the money and he was going. But Pinocchio was so, he believed in everything and everybody. Everybody was good. And the wolf took him around and showed him how to gamble and how to live. He had to go to school, this and that. And Pinocchio was corrupted.
Wow.
That's what happened. That's what happened to these people. For the most part. But the problem is, though, you have a lot of those people there that are so racist. They found a platform to come out and talk about it. Now, we're looking at a president now. We're looking at a president now. Yeah.
That goes back to the evangelicals that they allowed to permeate their party early on because they saw the numbers, and they didn't care the quality.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm. And those same evangelicals were very racist, and they're the same ones who believe that velociraptors and dinosaurs live comfortably with man, and you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You mean the dinosaurs didn't live with us? You mean, are you kidding me?
No.
There was no dinosaurs?
No. No, they thought that these people think that we lived like the Flintstones.
You mean we didn't have a Tyrannosaurus Rex as a pet?
No, I don't think so.
Oh man, but weren't we always Americans? Weren't we the ones that could tame anything?
Hey, look, thank God for the Ice Age. Because man would never have had a chance.
Well, and here we are talking about this community organizer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazing.
George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Nixon, none of them ever got 51% plus twice.
That's right.
Nobody but Eisenhower and this president.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
And he's on the verge of winning the popular vote by almost 6 million. I think it's 5 million or something now, because I believe they're still counting in California.
Yes, they are.
So,
the
thing is, not since Ike. So if...
No, just for the weekend.
If their understanding of how this country should run
is so correct,
they get 51 or 50.1% of the people in this country to vote for them? And that is not everybody. I mean, we're talking about there's hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah.
Of maybe another 100 million people that didn't vote. I mean, I just don't understand that. So their ideas, when they keep saying, our ideas are the best ideas, what they were, why can't you win an election?
Rita, sure.
Why can't you get the most votes?
No,
they
were
so ridiculous.
Straight up.
When you shake it up, of the electorate, it was like reality TV. And before we knew it, there were more people engaged than they anticipated. And then they continued to lie.
I don't know which you're going to watch.
Okay.
No show on this week.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's just amazing. Well, I also want to ask you, what do you think about the quote that it's a legitimate rape? The female body has a way to try to shut down the whole thing.
Oh, I got a lot of friends that wish that had happened.
You mean that doesn't happen?
I don't know what rock he's been under all these years of his life, but to actually come on national TV and utter those words shows not only the disregard for women, but the disdain for women. Because all I could envision were, you know, just people just running around raping women and women shutting it down. I mean, it's amazing.
Wait a minute. But see, here's the thing. It wasn't on national TV. It was on a local television station that it went viral first. Then it was on national TV.
Yeah.
So he thought he was just talking to some small little audience.
But he was running for an office. Nothing you say when you're running for office is local.
But you see, here's the kicker.
Yeah.
He's on the daggone science committee. in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah. Well, here again, we're talking intelligence. If they're going to allow organizations like ALEC to write legislation and do their work for them, they don't have to govern. They can just continue to be profiteers while the country goes down the tubes. And that's what's happening. They're allowing a few corporations to write their... You know what it reminds me of? The guys who some of the athletes in college who let the cheerleaders write their papers. I mean, this is what we're talking about here. So now you have legislatures that don't have a clue. All they're doing is reading legislation. That's why they don't want us to film them filibustering under a real filibuster.
Oh, of course not.
Because they couldn't spend 10 minutes against someone like Conyers or Lieberman. They couldn't spend 10 minutes filibustering. Couldn't do it.
Because first of all, these people, that's the reason why, and I don't think many people know that when the Republicans, a regressive party, I'm sorry I said that, slapped my hand, the regressive party, when they took office, when the president became president, when they took office in 2010, John Boehner took a changed the rules of the House where they would work 1 week and have 2 weeks off.
Yeah,
so they only worked twice. They only worked 2 weeks a month. So we're talking about during the, take for instance 1964 during Lyndon Johnson's presidency. There was only one filibuster in 4 years.
That's right.
During the first 4 years of Mr. Obama's presidency, they had 386.
Oh, yes.
And the year ain't over yet.
Because they
and the year ain't over yet.
They text them in. They fax them in. They don't have to stand on the House floor and command the attention of their
That's right, because all they have to say is no. That's the only word. Just two little letters, no.
Really?
That's all. And therefore, so this is the reason why work and bills do not get passed. So especially when you're only in office, and we're talking about the Congress now, the House, 2 weeks a month, and in the Senate, all they have to do is say no. And they don't have a filibuster. This isn't like Mrs. Vitt Goes to Washington, where you have to stand up there and you have to keep talking or you have to vote.
That's right.
If they had to do that, they would think twice.
Well, they're not governing, and they should be fined for not doing their job.
Well, and they're getting paid $175,000, or it was $140,000, whatever it is, with free health care for the rest of their life. And... no repayment is necessary for their children's college education.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
When their children take out a loan for college, they do not have to pay it back.
And that's why they don't care about the average Joe.
They do not care.
They don't have to participate. Yeah.
And then we have, I'm going to give you another one here, which is, I think, it should be very easy for you. This quote says, "We now have a total gangster government. They don't even depend anymore. It's total in-your-face cronyism."
Yes.
That was said in October 2008, after the just before the president was elected.
Gangster
government.
I guess that goes along with food stamp president.
Well, I'll give you this too. And the same person in 2009, in June, said, I just take the Bible for what it is. I guess and reorganize that I am not a scientist, not trained to be a scientist. I'm not a deep thinker on all this. I wish I was. I wish I was more knowledgeable, but I'm not a scientist.
Oh, goodness. I remember that quote. I can't read the name.
Here's another quote from the same person. Carbon dioxide is portrayed as harmful, but there isn't even one study that can be produced that shows that carbon dioxide is harmful.
I remember all of that.
Now, this same person, let me give you one more quote from this person. The big thing we are working on now is global warming hoax. It's all voodoo, nonsense, hokum, and hoax. Now, this is the person who just said that I just take the Bible for what it is, and I am not a scientist. But yet, they're saying that carbon dioxide is not harmful, that global warming is a hoax.
Yeah.
And also they said carbon dioxide is natural, and it is not harmful. It's part of the Earth's lifestyle. Lifestyle. And yet we're being told that we have to reduce this natural substance, reduce the American standards of living to create an arbitrary reduction in something that is naturally occurring in the Earth. Now, but this person says, I'm not a scientist. So how do they know that it's natural?
Exactly. I don't know whether that's... Who is it?
When they failed biology in high school, evidently.
High school? They failed it in junior high.
Well, this was said by none other than Michelle Bachmann. Here is someone she's talking about gangster government. She's talking about that the Bible, I know the Bible, but I'm not a scientist. I'm not a deep thinker.
How are you?
I wish I was. But yet, I can tell you that carbon dioxide is not harmful, that global warming is a hoax.
Okay.
I mean, now give me a break. Now, when she starts saying these crazy things, well, as soon as she got in office,
what?
In 2003, and
she
then it got worse.
She keeps getting reelected.
What's that?
She keeps getting reelected. It's amazing.
Well, she barely won this time around.
Yeah.
And I don't believe she's going to win next time around, which will be 2 years.
She barely won. They've got to get rid of her.
Yeah, well, but I think they will. The problem is, though,
redistricting, and she's in a district that her family is putting her back in.
Yeah, but you see, the problem is she barely won in her redistricted district because she's so crazy.
Yeah,
and she's got the party with her, and she barely won. So if she barely won this time, she will not win next time.
She's out.
Now, what do you think about what's happened in Michigan with the as a right to work state now?
Well, you know, that breaks my heart because when I worked for Pan American Airlines at JFK in New York, I was a shop steward. So I come from a union family. My dad was a shop steward for he was a bus driver, New York bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was a block captain. So I come from a union family, teachers and law enforcement officers. And it was part of our life, and we knew it was the lifeline.
Take that thing off. You better take that off.
Between the corporation, the equality promise between the corporation and the worker. And you wouldn't work anywhere that did not have a union. And to see these people almost, you could call it almost the bed, the the bed of
hey, Cindy, you know.
Of union development in Michigan to see those people go through what they're going through. And they didn't see it coming. And for them to do this in a lame duck session, and what they did was they attached the appropriation to this legislation because their constitution says that if the appropriation is attached, you cannot send it to referendum. So it won't go before the people. How patriotic is that? Why don't we see that these people are not they're not acting American at all? This is very unpatriotic. And I think, I wouldn't be sure of any other state, but I think this is not the end of it for Michigan. I think those people...
Oh, no. It's not the end of it.
Yeah.
Not the end of it. Just listen to this.
Right there. There you go.
I know exactly what he'd tell you. Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run the ship properly with a book, but they fought me at every turn.
And that's what they keep saying.
Yeah.
They fight us at every turn.
Okay, go on,
but
baby.
See, the problem is, Obama won that state, I believe, by six or seven.
I don't think so.
Percent.
Which
is a
hit.
Or maybe it was more than that.
I think it was 8. He whipped him hard.
Now the problem is,
that
means Rick Snyder is going to have a major problem getting reelected again. Because everybody in the state got elected. It's not like he's going to have one district vote for him. See, if it was district by district, then he'd be okay. Because they have redistricted these states so well that only the people in those districts will get elected, and they're all Republicans. So that's why you're talking about even all this. And Obama won all these states that these Republicans have. He won every one of them, but they can't win the House, and they will take back the governorships in all those states. They will be taken back, but they can still hold the House.
Snyder lied to those people. Blatantly. He is recorded as lying to them. He was even asked.
Of course. He says, it's because the unions overreached, so therefore I'm going to hurt the unions. Well, he thinks that this is going to help them. It will not help him. He's gone. And they think it was slick by attaching it to the bill. So it can't have a referendum. But what's going to happen is that if any of those elected officials are in swing districts, they can kiss their asses goodbye. Because they ain't going to be here.
I hope so. One of the things that I'm concerned about is now that it is a right-to-work state, they can bring in, they say that it's going to increase jobs. And technically it's true. What they'll do is bring in people who are looking for work who don't want to be a part of the union. So
who are going to make less. But you see, here's the problem, though, that when they bring them in, they're going to have to pay these people who are not qualified to work in a particular field, and they would have to be paid the same amount as someone who is qualified. So they think that's going to break the union. Because what will happen then is the people who are qualified and are getting, say, $12 an hour or $13 an hour will say, well, wait a minute. Well, you're bringing in somebody that's going to be the same as much as me? And the owner will say, yeah, if you don't like it, quit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then they'll have all the people working there who are not qualified.
Right.
And when they're not qualified, they'll say, you know what? I got to cut back your pay because you can't do the job correctly.
Well, this is what I'm talking about when I say while we're sleeping, they're thinking. When Obama didn't win, certainly they were all they all needed shock treatment to be brought back to life because they couldn't believe he won again. But there was another contingent. They had a contingency plan, and their contingency plan was to undo some of the delight concerning Michigan and how it came back, how Detroit and all those Flint and all those cities in Michigan came back because Obama saw to it that he saved the automobile industry. Now you have the auto workers union, who's pretty much they're going to be powerless.
Well, what they did was, you also got to remember that the auto workers gave up half their pay to keep the industry alive.
In order to do that, that's right. And now their contingency plan is to undo that.
And they were promised that when the auto industry got back into itself, they could get back some of these givebacks. But now they're not going to get any of the givebacks.
Nothing.
Because they don't have to pay attention to the union because it's the right to work state. And then when the industry starts folding, then they'll say, "You see, we told you that it wouldn't last."
Yeah,
but
that's the contingency.
Well, that's the thing where they need to hold on for another 2 years. That's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to stay there for another 2 years. They cannot, these companies cannot reduce your pay now.
No.
I don't think they can get away with that. So they'll just have to live.
They can do anything they want. It's a right to work.
Yes, but I don't think legally they would get away with that in the courts.
Stop 3 hours.
They can say whatever they want. I don't think they get away with it legally in the court. I don't know any industry that has any, because the only reason why they could say that is if they were losing money. But they're not losing money. They've had the biggest explosion of creation jobs since for the last 10 years. So you know the company of these the GM has made more money this year than they made in the last 10 quarters.
Yeah.
So they can't pay. They have
absolutely. But the right to work by bringing in unskilled workers who will work for $13 an hour, but they don't necessarily have to give them health insurance.
But see, here's the thing though. If they under the union law, anybody that comes into work is going to have to get paid what the union wages are and the union benefits are. So they're going to have to get. I don't think they can have you come in and not give you health insurance. Because
they don't have to work state. They don't have to offer you health insurance.
Yeah, but you see, they want to break the union. So the only way to break the union is to give these people who are not qualified the same thing that the union workers are getting. Because if they're going to bring in people who are going to make less than the union wage, why would I, as a union worker, care?
They
don't pay nothing. So they're going to have to pay these people the same amount of money as the union workers are getting paid. That means any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street who has a second-grade education, they'll pay them what the top person gets in the union. Now, that would be a major fundamental problem with a union worker. But if they bring in any Tom, Dick, and Harry,
my back.
That's what they're using the profit for then.
That's how they're going to unravel. They'll have to pay these union workers the same amount of money as they're paying they have to pay these people, the newly hired people, the same amount of money as they give the union workers.
Well, I tell you what, they are very lucky that this isn't in the days of Boss Tweed, because we wouldn't have to worry. It's in 2 weeks, it would all be over.
While I got you here, I want you to tell us, we got a couple more minutes, I want you to tell me something about the Nota School of the Arts.
The Nota School of the Arts, well, I tell you, group of wonderful people who decided that the Charlotte area and its surrounding county have a plethora of talent in our young people, and Nota School of the Arts is the only school of arts, music, performing arts school that addresses the needs of children. Most of the art schools address adults, but this is the only one with performances. addresses strictly children from the first grade through the seventh grade for our juniors, and then on into our senior high school.
And this is not a public. This is not a public high school or anything like that. This is just a arts theater company.
Yes, it's a school of arts addressing the. What we're doing is pulling the talents that are there and facilitating these children to realize their dreams, or if they never had dreams of it. Some of these inner-city underprivileged students who don't even know that they're good. Pulling that out and helping them realize a dream that they never thought of. So it's a phenomenal school with a great executive director, Kelly Brown, does such a wonderful job. She's a college-educated performing arts person herself. And with her guidance and through her love of children, she has really created and constructed quite a school. And the tuition is sliding scale. So that we can get a very diverse group of students working together who might not work together anywhere else.
And you are a member of the board of the Nota School.
Yes, I am a board member, and I'm proud to be a part of what I suspect will grow even more and probably spread into other areas. Right now it's in Charlotte and the surrounding area. But I do believe that there are so many people out there who could help the school so much and do so much for the school. And I challenge people who like the arts with the public schools getting ready to really be gutted because we have a state legislation that wants
and a governor.
Sure, certainly. And with that type of legislation and that type of mindset, the arts are going to go first. And what we have to do, we have to protect schools like the Nota School of Art. That's going to bring that type of cultivation and sophistication to our area.
We're going to see if we can get Kelly and you on the show next Friday. And for full disclosure, I am also a board member on the Nota School of the Arts. And I want to thank you for being with us. And all I have to say is the best is yet to come. And this is the last word.
You take care, Mike.
This Friday, yes.
Life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? Think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have...
Go Cowboy! Go Cowboy!
You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain a cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms. You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Oh, oh, the tree of life I just picked me up from.
Like, that's nice.